and make sure, first of all, that they've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we get the privilege as elders to hear how God has worked in different people's lives and how the Lord has saved them. And so we value that so much, and we want the congregation to be able to experience this very same thing. You know, baptism, as you're going to see tonight, and I just want to stress, baptism does not save us. Baptism is simply a picture of the fact that an individual has already been saved. And as they follow the Lord in the waters of baptism tonight, these individuals, these five individuals who will be baptized, two of them will not be able to be here tonight. One of them was very sick, and her husband had to take her to the hospital, so they will not be being baptized tonight. But as they go into the waters of baptism tonight, they're actually demonstrating the fact that they've already died with Christ, and they've been raised to live a brand new life. And so their desire is to say that and to testify to that tonight. Jesus told us, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." So we have five people that are going to be sharing their testimonies tonight. The first one is Harvey Stratton. And I'm going to ask Harvey if he would come and share what the Lord has done in his life. Harvey, come.
Well, now I know how Jock feels when he has to face the congregation. It's nice when you're sitting there the other way. However, where do I begin? Pastor Jock told me that my presentation must not last longer than 5 minutes. So if I'm longer than that, just yank me off. I'm going to do this in two parts. I'm going to do this in before and after. That is my working life, when I wasn't very proud of some of the things I did, and after. So before, I'm going to say, during my working years for a large industrial company, I was in sales marketing for over 40 years. And I did things what I thought was being successful by doing some serious drinking, lewd jokes, parties, etc. And for anyone who is involved in competitive business, the pressures are staggering. What with quarterly quotas that must be met, monthly performance reviews, accomplishments and objective reports, and so on. And let me emphasize that I did nothing of a criminal nature during this business life. And let me digress for a moment, just to give you an example of some of the things that happened that weren't too good. We took a trip in a CPR club car with about 20 sales types. We were on our way to Quebec to see one of our new plants. And learn about the products we were going to sell. The steward asked what we wanted to drink, and one of the young lads who worked for me declined. And by so doing, he was not included in the sales brotherhood, team, or group. Not a bad situation. Not a good situation. I took this young lad aside. His name was Dave. I won't give you last names. Suggested he order a rye and ginger ale, and then slip down to the bartender and tell him to ask for ginger ale only. I thought to myself, what a way to practice deception to deceit. But I did that so Dave would feel comfortable and part of the team, right or wrong. So much for sales and some of its twists and turns. I could go on for a long time talking about sales. But this was my before life. Some years later, I retired and moved to Wilmot Creek, right across the road from Isabel and Bill Barnes. A little later on, my wife of 62 years suddenly died one night. Oh. My life was a desert. and I was in a wasteland. Something I hope none of you have to endure, as my grief was overwhelming. Then good things started to happen. I met Jack and Lori Shore, enrolled in their counseling class for several months, and started back on the road to recovery. Thank you, Jack and Lori. I will forever be in your debt for your Christian beliefs. The next wonderful thing that happened, I noticed that Isabel and Bill Barnes were packing every Sunday morning to go to their church. This was after they moved from Brampton up to Wilmot. And I asked if I could go along. Wow, did my life start to change? And I mean that very much. As I attended Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, I was completely overwhelmed by the very warm, welcoming people, the great hymns, and I can't emphasize that enough, the great hymns you sing. I don't call them songs. They're hymns in my heart. And the goodness that I felt in my soul. I also enjoyed very much Pastor Jock's powerful messages of the Spirit of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I feel I've been a Christian for many years, but something was missing, and I felt strongly that I should be baptized in obedience and to our great God, Jesus Christ. How can we be sure our names are in God's book of life? Let me quote from John 14:6. And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's also a scripture reading that I picked up from Calvary Baptist that Natalie and I attend with some of the group here. They're seniors every Thursday afternoon. Wonderful group of people. Should try it sometimes. This is from Matthew 22:37. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is much like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." I would be very remiss, and this may be not part of the service, but I feel I must say this. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my dear wife, whom I met and married almost 5 years ago. Natalie, sitting here in the second, third row, is a kind, soft-spoken, gentle, and a true Christian lady. Thank you, Natalie, for helping me through a very difficult time during those 5 years. She also gave me a nice card tonight before we come to service for the special occasion. That's all I have to say. Jock's going to pull me off the lectern here if I don't. He's not allowed me 5 minutes. I don't know if I'm on. Anyway, I'd like to say, brothers and sisters of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, I thank you for listening to me. God bless all.
It's amazing to see how the Lord works in different people's lives. Praise God for that. We're going to have a young lady by the name of Emily Oshimo come and share her testimony at this time.
Hey everyone, not starting off so good already, but it's only by the grace of God that I can stand here today, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, and share this with you. I've said this many times before, but I'll say it again, as much as I would like to take back the mistakes that I made in my past, I believe that they had to happen for me to be where I am today, and that God used those moments in my life to bring me to Him, and it became part of my testimony. So like many others, I was raised in a Christian home, but I never truly knew what it meant to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and throughout my younger days, I floated through and I participated when needed and tried my best to be that good person. But for me, it never went beyond that. When I entered high school, I went so far beyond the boundaries that I set for myself. And I gave in to my flesh and everything I thought every girl my age wanted, I became part of the popular group just like I always desired. And things started off innocent. We were just a big group of friends. And then as we got older, the expectations seemed to increase. Though they never pushed me, and it was my choice, I fell deeper into sin. I began drinking occasionally at friends' houses on weekends, and eventually became a ritual every time we were together, and I craved it. And when that seemed safe enough to me, I began to try drugs, and though I knew I was going too far, I couldn't resist. Eventually convinced myself that what I was doing was okay, and it was just part of growing up. I convinced myself so much that I gave my heart away to someone who didn't want it. I remember the whirlwind of emotions I was beginning to feel, none of them quite as pleasing as when I first began, until I reached the point where I became depressed and confused. When I was 17, I began to watch the believers that surrounded me. People that I knew were there all along, and people that I'm so thankful that God placed in my life. And I saw something different in them, something I knew I wanted, and the things in my past they couldn't satisfy. I knew I didn't want to go down that path leading nowhere anymore, and I needed to make changes, but I didn't know where to begin. And I was scared to let go and scared to admit everything I did. And I was paralyzed by the guilt that I felt. When I was 18, the desire to find God was so strong, and I was ready to take action. I placed myself away from temptation and surrounded myself with believers to encourage me and hold me accountable. But much more than those things, and so much more personal to me, I began reading my Bible because I wanted to, not because I had to. Prayer became personal instead of a chore, and I was finally able to ask for my Father's forgiveness and accept that He had forgiven me despite all my mistakes, and I could accept that forgiveness without having to repay. I knew that the only thing that God asked of me in return was my life, dedicated to living for him and glorifying him. So one night when I got home, I knew I was ready. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I dedicated my life to him. I'm not yet a parent, but I know that as a parent, you can't always prevent your child from making mistakes. But I know that my parents prayed for me often, and I know they always did. And they showed me what was right and taught me and encouraged me and always stressed the importance of having a personal relationship with our Savior. But in my rebellion, I never listened or cared. And when I was finally able to accept that God had forgiven me and I'd finally forgiven myself and let go of the guilt that so often paralyzed me, I needed to ask for their forgiveness. And admitting to them the years of lies and secrets was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, but something I needed to. Even though it was in the past, keeping the truth from them always left me feeling guilt, and I knew it was doing more bad than good. So I'm so blessed by their love and support and thankful to call them my parents. So now this is me standing before all of you and sharing with you that I believe God sent his son to die on the cross for my sins, that Jesus rose again, and that I belong to him. And I am committed to following and trusting God with my life. And I'm so thankful and blessed that he would choose to use me despite my mistakes, faults, and imperfections. And because of his sacrifice on the cross and his forgiveness, I can leave my past behind me and press on, because he has made me new, and in him I am free. Accepting Christ was and always will remain my best decision I ever made. I'm excited to continue to grow in my faith and excited to follow in obedience. God is so good and so faithful, and because he is who he promises, I will never look back but keep moving forward with eyes focused on him. And I just want to read again Romans 6:11-14. That says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen. Praise God. That is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change a human's life. Praise God. We're going to ask Cheryl Babcock to come and share. Cheryl, I don't know where you're sitting. Oh, there you are, Cheryl. Come on up and share what the Lord's done in your life, Cheryl.
Throughout my life, I have attended church at various times. My grandparents on both sides were Christians. I had an understanding of God, the gospel, but I have no personal relationship. In times of struggles and hardship, I prayed for strength and guidance. On looking back, I had a feeling that God was with me all along. God set me apart from birth, Galatians 1:15. If you want a life in God, you must choose. He doesn't force his will on you. The choice is yours. This is the amazing love and patience of God, who draws us to him when we oppose. You are mine. God looks at us in our brokenness, pain, and imperfections. He puts his hand on us and says, you are mine. Seven years ago, Jen met Tim and started dating. I attended Calvary Baptist with them whenever I visited. Pastor Baker is an amazing speaker with very poignant messages. I became inspired by Tim's Christian life and that of his family, the way Tim leads his everyday life in Christ, and his work with Five Alive is quite impressive. I came to live with Tim and Jen 4 years ago and really became immersed in their Christian life. We decided to attend the local Baptist church, Newcastle, and develop a relationship in the community. We thoroughly enjoyed Pastor Jacques's messages. The people were very friendly and welcoming, and very blessed to have Mary with her great smiles and hugs. It's only been in the last year by attending the women's Bible study and the daily walk in the Bible on Thursdays that I felt God's Spirit at work more and more in my heart. By reading and learning His Word, observing Christians around me, praying, reaching out to help others, and fellowship with other Christians. This is what I've been seeking and wanting in my life. This is how I want to lead my life. To ask Christ to come into my heart, to fill me with His Spirit, to confess my sins and ask for forgiveness. What a wonderful gift. Here, how am I worthy? Thank you so much, God. On reflection, I now have a better understanding of why things occurred in the past. I am no longer angry, hurt, or resentful. As God has forgiven my sins, so He forgives others. We all have our own journey with God. God is the judge. This evening, I have decided to publicly dedicate my life to the Lord. Thank you.
Amen. At this time, we're going to ask Roger Tandori, who is being baptized, to come and share his testimony. His wife is going to be becoming a member, and she's going to share a testimony at the same time. So I'm going to ask Roger and Daniela to come and share what the Lord has done in their lives.
Hey, hello, everyone. Can you all hear me? My name's Roger, and I'm the dad of Megan, Katie, and Nathan over there in the corner. This is my wife. I work in the information and technology sector in the government, but most of all, I'm a child of Christ. And I've been one for 16 years, and I want to share a little bit of how I became a Christian, but also share just a quick summary of a lot of the intense struggles I've had in the past year or so. And that'll kind of give you a bit of an idea why I'm seeking membership here. And my favorite book is Romans in the Bible. And chapter 12 specifically starts off saying, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And this is a struggle I've had as a Christian for 16 years. And how's it going with that struggle, you may ask? Well, not too well. As Pastor Jacques was mentioning this morning, you know, there's a lot of Christians that struggle with being a living sacrifice, and I'm one of those that wants, I'm a sacrifice that wants to keep squirming off the altar. And I've been through, I think in a last year, God's been putting me through some difficult but necessary spiritual struggles, struggles with doctrine, struggles with just looking at my personal weaknesses. I've become painfully aware of some areas of compromise in my life. Selfishness is an ongoing battle. But in spite of all these difficulties, I didn't want to ignore the fact that I know what it is to experience God's loving discipline. He's not just a judgmental God. He disciplines us in a merciful way, and in our times, even in brokenness, I always take comfort in Jesus' words in the Beatitudes that blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. And I also take comfort in the fact that I know God loves all of us and loves me too much to leave me the way I am. So He does work in us, and I'm still a work in progress. And I just take great delight in hearing, like, Emily's speech, and just realizing that we can struggle, we can mess up big time, and in spite of all that, God always works things to our good. So it doesn't get any better than that, to be loved like that. And speaking of compromise, the first compromise probably in my life was being baptized as an infant, which I can't remember. And my life from a baby onwards was pretty well characterized by I didn't want anything to do with God. The occasional Christmas and Easter, I'd go to a service, but otherwise I had nothing to do with God. In spite of that, I was still baptized, or I went to my first communion in a Catholic church. And I mention this because this was a memory that came flashing back to me only when I was 28, when I first became a Christian in the true sense, which I'll get to shortly. But a few days after becoming a Christian, that memory flooded to me. The day of my first communion, I'm in the apartment building with my dad, and he sneaks me off while my mom's sleeping, and we go to Hyde Park, and he has this new air gun with a nice set of scopes, and there I am dressed up in my three-piece suit, and he takes me to Hyde Park, and he says to me, "You can shoot anything you want, just don't shoot a bird or squirrel," right? So what is a boy to do with a nice shiny gun? I take aim at a bird, and this sense of pride comes into me, and I never thought I'd hit it anyways, but I did, and the bird came spiraling down, and I felt an overwhelming sense of guilt just wash over me. I was irreconcilable. I just couldn't be comforted. And strangely enough, my dad picked up the bird and flew away, and I don't want to spiritualize that. It could just be it was maybe nothing, but I can say for sure that moment, I know that there was a profound sense of right and wrong. I knew I was told not to do something. I did it anyways. I went to receive Christ's body and blood in First Communion, and it meant nothing to me. And that was pretty much a pattern for my life for the many years as a teenager. I did many worse things. It meant nothing to me if I trampled on, the church or Christ. And I was also raised pretty much in a home typical of a lot of broken marriages. I pretty much raised myself. I kind of found myself moving from a small town in BC to Toronto when I was 17, living on my own. And so I didn't really do a good job of raising myself. But I did develop a fierce sense of pride that, I overcame a lot of things in my life. And I was disappointed in God and religion. I kind of viewed religion as a crutch for wimps. And that was pretty much my attitude until God got a hold of me. I was invited to a Bible study through a Lutheran church in someone's home. And I thought it was just going to be a nice thing of fiction. But I was actually overwhelmed with how much I didn't know and how much I misunderstood the Bible, how much I was biased against the Bible, how much that I failed on a daily basis to meet God's Ten Commandments, how much I failed to meet even my own standards, and I realized what a hypocrite I was. But it was a strange time because God's Word came, consoled me, and I felt loved, and I felt forgiven, but it was bittersweet because it was also, I didn't feel like I was floating on the clouds because I felt that it was a real attack on my pride and independence. But God, the Holy Spirit, kept working on me. And in the first few years of my life with Christ, after I went through the usual doubts and struggles and questions that a lot of new Christians have, evolution and that type of thing, I found that God was always more right, always right, and I was never right when I thought I was. But then after a few years, good years walking with God, I kind of fell into a bit of a downward swing. There's in the book of Revelations, in the second chapter, there's a book to the Church of Ephesus, which kind of felt like it was a warning to me that I started forsaking my first love, Christ, and I started becoming very lukewarm to Him. And about a year and a half ago, I started struggling with my, I was a Lutheran member at the Lutheran Church. And I was an ardent Lutheran member and didn't want to be a Baptist. And I got to say, it's really hard to question your core beliefs, it just shakes the very foundations of who you are, your identity, shakes your friendship, shakes everything. I struggled with that in the last year. We started coming about almost a year ago. And the reason why we probably started coming is because of your Gable Girls ministry. So I got to thank the volunteers for that. You have an impact for doing that. And same with the Boys Brigade volunteers. So that kept us, that started us coming out. And but I really was against this church in terms of what you believe about baptism. I held on to infant baptism, but look at me now, I'm going to be baptized. A year ago, I would never believe I'd be here, but I wouldn't take communion until about a month ago because I believed differently. I even prayed that God would shelter me and my family from this church. And that's one prayer I'm glad God didn't answer or say yes to. And oddly enough, it wasn't even Pastor Jacques' sermons that kept me coming back at first. In fact, I didn't really like your sermons because they were a little long. and they were a little bit too intense. I came back more because the worship was great. So the worship team, you know, good job. But as I was coming back for those reasons, I started seeing that it was my spiritual immaturity still in a lot of ways why I didn't like long sermons, or I didn't. It was some of the things I didn't like to hear too, and that's not easy. But it didn't take long for me to get to a point where I would gladly listen to a 3 or 4 hour sermon, and it wouldn't be enough probably. So it's interesting how you can change, or how God can change us. So in conclusion, I just want to say I was wrestling with strong doctrinal differences, with personal struggles and personal weaknesses, and I thought it'd be a long time that I'd be in limbo before I could find where I would be in terms of what I believed. I really did. Fortunately, that's not the case. God really got a hold of me, and I changed some key beliefs and some key things. He's still working on me in many ways. But I am right now thankful that he gave me this struggle. He works in our struggles. He refines us that way. And he had to deal with a stubborn guy like me that way. And I'm glad for my baptism that I'll be doing now, because now I'll actually be able to have a memory of dying with Christ and kind of draw on that as I daily struggle with my sin. And I'm glad that I could be a member and come alongside and serve alongside you folks. And so to conclude, I just Philippians 1:6 is a good verse for me, because it says that we can be confident that in all things, in spite of all struggles, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. So, thank you.
Hello, my name is Daniela Tandori. It is a true miracle that Roger is getting baptized tonight. It was no more than 2 months ago that I was speaking to him, saying that Megan has reached grade 5 and now she'll be sitting in the service, so that if she ever, you know, requests baptism, that he shouldn't stop her. Well, that didn't go over very well. And yet 2 months later, here he is getting baptized. It really is amazing. He's listened to so many John MacArthur sermons. I think he listened to hundreds of sermons in the last month, searching, and here he is tonight. I want to thank you, like Roger, for being ambassadors for Christ through your ministry of Gable Girls. Even though we've only been attending here for about a year, our girls have been coming here at Gable Girls for about 4 all together. Yeah, Megan's in grade 5, and I'm sure she started attending here when she was in grade 1, so that's a long record. When we were called out of the last church we attended, we were searching, and the reason we came here was the first stop was because of the Gable Girls Ministries. I thought, you know, the girls have been going here for years, and I've never even come in to check it out. So it only took one service, and we knew that we wanted to be a part of your church and worship with you. A little bit about myself. I became a Christian at 11 years old, and I'm old, so I have to compact 34 years in 5 minutes. I think I've already gone three. So I'll just quickly run through it. I was born in Bucharest, Romania, in a Christian family of five kids. My parents, in turn, also come from Christian backgrounds. My mom is from a Pentecostal background, and my dad is from a Baptist background. Although I consider that I became a Christian at 11 years old, I think God spoke to my heart way, way back when I was 5 or 6. I vividly remember how it happened, and it's the single only memory I have of the gospel. And my parents had a bookshelf in the living room, and there were 3 postcards sitting there. It was those almost like 3D, you know, you move them a little bit and pictures kind of move. So I thought that was kind of cool. It was one of Jesus knocking on the door, and underneath it, it was a verse from Revelation 3:20. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Now, I didn't know the verse, right? So the second picture was Jesus in Gethsemane before the betrayal and how he was praying to the Father. And the third postcard was him on the cross. So at 5 years old, that was my gospel. I didn't know what it meant, so I remember taking all three and running to my dad. And the Eastern Bloc parents are very busy, don't have a whole lot of time for the kids. So my dad, in like literally 2 statements, told me exactly what those 3 pictures meant. And I was amazed. I remember the conversation. I remember every second, because I walked away with those 3 pictures. And I thought, wow, if this man knocked on my door, I would open my heart. So that was the first memory I have of the gospel. Growing up, I always knew that there was something very special about church. Not because it was fun for me, but because my parents went through a great deal of trouble to get to church. It took my family about an hour and a half to get to church by bus, and we were there regardless of whether it was a hot summer or a cold winter or a freezing winter. The bus song was very long. The ride was very terrible. It was very crowded. I remember being tired, hungry, or sick on the bus often. I didn't like the experience of going to church. As a matter of fact, Sundays I cried the most, Sunday mornings. And now as a mother, I know how hard that must have been on the parents. It was hard for me at the time, but it must have been even more harder on my parents, who had 4 kids and I had to dress them every Sunday and get to church on time. Despite the trouble with the commute, the churches in Romania was full to overcapacity. There were packs of people standing against the back walls. Some churches would bring speakers to the yard, and people would listen to 2 to 3 hour sermons. There was no air conditioning in the summer. It was very uncomfortable. And you needed no furnace in the winter. There were so many people packed side by side, the church would warm up in no time. Churches in Romania were generally just one giant room. Like here in a washroom, there was nothing else. The men would sit on one side, the women on the other. Was very old type of a setup. There were morning and evening services. They weren't separate on its own. It's not like people just came in the morning or evening. They just came morning and evening, not one or the other. That's what I'm trying to say. And the evenings were even more packed than the mornings, believe it or not. A little backwards here. It is customary in Romania to have a lot of praise and worship and an evening service before the sermon, both collectively and individually. So there were the program was full of solos, duets, poetry, choir, youth choirs. It was quite something. And then the sermon, which was like over an hour and a half. But people back in Romania, they had nothing. And when you have nothing, all you have is Christ. My grandparents, both from both sides of family, went to church, and there was prayer meetings at my grandmother's house quite often. So I grew up watching the lives of these people and how closely related they were to church, prayer, fellowship, and serving the Lord. I saw tears of pain, tears of thankfulness, tears of repentance, tears of joy, great faith and hope, all of which had
It's focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that really shaped my heart. My family left Romania in 1977, and our leaving was nothing short of a miracle. It was extremely hard, if not impossible, to leave the communist bloc. My dad had photocopied some pages out of a Christian book at work, and he got in great trouble with the communists over it. He was regularly held late at work, in front of committees, to explain his actions, his faith, and the reason why he kept refusing to be a member of the Communist Party. My parents both refused to be members. Some people were members even though they didn't believe in the communist regime, just simply because their life would be easier. But my parents didn't believe in the system and what they stood for, and refused categorically to be part of it. God used all this for a good, and this, in fact, ended up being for our good, and it allowed us to leave Romania. My father always made sure that we, as children, all understood that it was God's mighty hand that got us out of Romania. And my parents came to Windsor, Canada, and the first year that we came to Canada, I was 10 and a half, I believe I just turned 11. I remember I started to read the Bible for the first time. I was at the age where I could pick up a book and read it from beginning to end on my own, and had the critical thinking abilities and the logic. So I knew a lot of the Bible story, but it was actually different to read it for myself. I found the scripture very compelling, and my heart was fertile ground for the witness, from the witness of so many relatives and friends. And one night after reading the Bible, I knelt beside my bed and confessed that I am a sinner and I want to obey Jesus Christ. A year later, my parents decided to move from Windsor to BC. And while we were out in BC, we joined a wonderful congregation at Maryhill Baptist Church in Port Coquitlam. And I was baptized there in September 27, 1981. I said a lot of nice things, and you almost think that my family was perfect because they were Christian, but they were not. There was a lot of a difficult marriage for my parents. Sometimes Easter and Christmas, go figure, were some of the worst times for us, for our family. You would think that all power of hell showed up on our front door. And I could have dismissed the faith of my family as hypocrisy, but the truth of the gospel prevailed. And none of the 5 children were lost on account of this. There was no doubt that Satan for years and years tried to break up this family, and it almost happened several times. It was obedience and faith to the Word of God that kept the marriage together. And we give thanks to our Lord that Satan did not prevail. The work of God in our family was much greater and stronger than the blows of our enemy who tried to devour and destroy. Now, how has my Christian walk been for the last 34 years? Well, I've learned from a young age some of the basics that I have to stick to. First of all, to obey my Lord Jesus Christ, and second, to spare myself a lot of grief. One is to know the Word of God, two, to obey it, three, to trust the Lord, and four, to run from sin as fast and as far as your feet can take you. So I've always feared reaping the consequences of sin, and I've also feared God's rod of discipline. I would rather deny myself and spare myself the trouble. God has provided, guided, comforted me, and kept me. If I didn't give him first place in my heart, I know he repeatedly denied me those things that I wanted first that went before him. He gently steered me back on course if I was about to take the wrong turn, and he always provided a way out when I was about to make a mistake. He opened the door and he closed the door. I am where I am today because of God's goodness. And yes, we have 4.5 acres of land that keep me busy, but my true labor and garden are the 3 children God entrusted to us. I continue to trust God to help us plant in our garden the seeds of knowledge of God with tears, prayer, supplication, love, and patience and wisdom. Psalm 123 verse 3 says, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy." I pray that my life is a testimony to them, and that many others, like many other faithful Christians' lives, were a testimony to me. that my imperfections will never be a stumbling block to them, and that the gospel will grasp their hearts at a young age and spare them from scars and consequences of sins that can last a lifetime. The Lord has given me breath, and I am alive. And I am alive, but even greater than that, because of the work of Christ at the cross, I have the Holy Spirit, the true life within me, and have my hope strongly anchored in the one who saves and keeps until the day of Christ. The verse that our pastor back when I was baptized, he gave me my verse, and it was Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm blessed beyond measure to walk this life with Jesus, and then shortly after, spend eternity in his kingdom. I can truly say that I have life and have it to the full, as it's written in John 10:10. I have eternal life because of the unmeasurable and incomprehensible love of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in Revelation 4:8, he is described as the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Thank you.
Amen. And one more testimony from someone who's going to be baptized tonight. That is Katie Lizotte, and it's going to be read by her husband, Tim.
So this is actually who's talking, but my wife is petrified of standing up here and reading, even sometimes is terrifying. So as a husband, hopefully I'm fulfilling some of my duties here. And she's not like me, who is sometimes long-winded. She's nice and brief and to the point, so she's got it all laid out here. So Kate gets right to the point here, and she's just sharing her testimony here with you today. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior shortly after I turned 13. That summer I lost both of my grandparents on my mother's side, and for the first time in my life had to deal with death in a very real way. My grandfather was an old-time minister from the United Church, and through his teaching I knew the story of Jesus, but it was not real or personal part of my life. Near the end of his life, my grandfather suffered from dementia. However, when he died, he became, very lucid and was at peace leaving this world. His passing had a profound impact on my own understanding of mortality. I did not want to die and go to hell. I remember reading through my little New Testament and putting my faith in Jesus Christ, asking him to save me. In Acts 2:21, it states that it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When I put my trust in Jesus Christ, I remember that I was no longer afraid to die. He had given me peace. 5 years later, I fell ill while attending my first year at the University of Guelph. The illness was quite severe, and I had to drop out of university and return home. For 3 years, we struggled to find physical answers and get a proper diagnosis from many doctors. This was an extremely difficult and dark time in my life, but also a time when God began speaking to me. I began to realize how fragile our mortal bodies are, and we are really not in control. I was drawn back into God's Word and read through the New Testament in earnest. God began to convict me of many ways that I was not honoring Him in my life, and I gained a deeper understanding of what transpired at the cross. Christ had taken my place and received the penalty for my sins. He also rose from the dead and gave me victory over sin. My physical trials led me back to God's Word, which solidified my conviction and gave me assurance of salvation. I also realized that God is in control of all things and that I needed to surrender to Him and to His will. It was 3 years after falling ill that I finally received a diagnosis of myalgic encephalomyelitis. And although I still struggle with this disease, I know that God is working through it and has drawn me closer to Him. Now I want to honor and obey God in my life, and this is the reason I'm being baptized tonight. I believe that baptism signifies the covenant relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. It's my outward expression of my inward conviction. And I have been crucified with Christ, and now I'm a new creation. The old sinful self has been put to death, and I've been given a new life through Jesus Christ. Praise God. I've never really given serious consideration to baptism before Tim and I started attending Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, although I too was baptized as an infant. However, my walk with the Lord has become much stronger, and it is clear in Scripture that baptism is an important step in obeying Christ. I would like to be a member here at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist because the church stands on the Word of God as truth and preaches Christ crucified. I want to serve God with my life and grow my personal relationship with Him. I know firsthand how easy it is to drift away from God and be knocked around in this life without the support and fellowship of Christians and a local church. I look forward to the encouragement and also the accountability that comes with being a member of this local church, and I really, truly hope that God can use me to serve Him here. Tim and I have been extremely blessed in the Lord and our time thus far here at NFBC, and to God be the glory.
Well, it's not only exciting to see people follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. Some of these people, I think most of them will be becoming members tonight, but there's others who are here tonight who have already been baptized by immersion, and they still would like to join our church. And so I'm going to ask Tim Brightson and his wife Genevieve to come and share their testimony of how the Lord saved them and how He's brought them here to Newcastle.
I guess I'm going first. I'm Tim Brightson. This is my wife, Genevieve, and this is my daughter, Aurora. We have another daughter. She's sick, though, so she's at home. I didn't write anything down, so I'll just kind of do what I usually do. So I have been born and raised, not born, but raised in a Christian home from going to church as long as I can remember. I came to know the Lord at 12 years old at Muskoka Baptist Conference when, I forget the gentleman's name, but he gave an altar call, and I went up and I accepted God into my life. That fall I was baptized at Forest Brook Bible Chapel. I think it was around 1992. I was about 12 years old. And I have no doubt that I became a Christian right then and there, but as far as getting real with God and allowing God to use me, I wasn't doing it to the most I could, and I was sitting on the fence, so I wasn't kind of releasing myself to be used by God. Became very involved in sports and competition, weight training, and I think that kind of took over, and I had this idea that I had to be the biggest, the best, the fastest, the strongest. And that continued on until pretty much my second last year of university. And then I don't know what happened. I would come back. I'm sure university students have had this, where you come back from university land and you come back to reality where you're with your family. And then something just hit me there that I can't, you know, this isn't my parents' religion. I'm not going to church because they do. I'm going to church because I want to. And so it was in June of 2002 when God basically said, enough is enough. I need all of you, not just half of you, Tim. So I kind of got real with my faith. I was attending Calvary Baptist Church at the time, where I'd been attending since I was about 14 years old, and I asked to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church. Got involved in ministry, and the verse that I really struggled with, and the one I think that really made the difference for me, was in 2 Corinthians 12:10, and it's, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And I know it seems like a weird verse to be saying at a testimony, but I didn't really want to hear that when I was in high school or university, because I was strong enough on my own. And I I didn't need God for that. I could do it on my own. And after multiple injuries and a variety of situations in my life, God basically broke me and broke me and broke me and just showed me how much I needed him in my life and how I couldn't do it on my own. And if I could just let God take over, I could do so much more than what I was already doing. And so I'm proud to say that's what I did. And then throughout that time, I was also, you know, dating and things like that. And I just couldn't find the right girl because I was looking on my own. I wasn't really asking God to find the right girl for me. And so as soon as I made that commitment to God, I was dating a non-Christian at the time. And I said, you know, this has got to stop. And we had been dating for 4 or 5 years. And it was a very difficult decision to make. And I basically said, you know, we're done. And I'm kind of getting serious with my faith. And at that point, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself a breath of fresh air. I'm not going to date for a while. And of course, she walks in on the first day of school. I was like, wow. All right. So maybe we won't give too much of a break. And I found out she was a Christian. And, well, the rest is history. We got married pretty much a year after we met. And, God was using me, fast-tracking me from that point on into what he wanted for my life. And I got heavily involved in Calvary Baptist Church in a Five Alive ministry, which worked with the mentally and physically challenged. So we were going to Calvary Baptist Church, but living in Newcastle. We went overseas to Dubai for a bit and came back when we had Aurora. And then when we came back, that's a nice church. We thought we'd stop by here and check things out. And again, we were involved in ministry and things were going forward, and then we kept getting pulled in the Newcastle Fellowship Baptist. I mean, it's so close, and the preaching's good, and the music's good, and Calvary's all the way in Oshawa, and so it kept pulling us in, and it became a problem for me because I was involved in ministry, and, you know, I can't just say, okay, I'm quitting. So after a year of prayer and a lot of late night conversation between Genevieve and I and Cheryl, who lives with us, you know, trying to make that decision. And Pastor Baker and Pastor Stairs have basically given me their blessing, and I can still continue with ministry at Calvary, kind of like a double agent. Not really, but just kidding. We're here. But that was a real trial for us to try to sort that out. But I'm happy to say that we have sorted out, and we're parting ways on good terms, and we're here. So thank you for having us.
Well, unlike Tim, I have prepared something and I can't just speak off the cuff. The first question that I wanted to answer was, how did I come to know the Lord? So as I grew up, I knew of the Holy Trinity and Christianity, but I didn't know the Lord personally. And I became aware, I guess gradually, but very aware, that something was missing from my life at about age 25 or so. And at that time, I, you know, began to search, and I soon learned about the actual personal relationship that I could have with God. And shortly thereafter, I asked Jesus into my life to forgive me of my sins, and so began my new life with him. Tim talked about this a little bit, but shortly after that, I met Tim, and he invited me to come to Calvary Baptist with him and his friends. And at Calvary, I learned a lot more about God and about the importance of God's word and prayer and worship and fellowship in this walk with Christ. And I can't remember an exact date, but around that time, when I was kind of very new and naive about God's word, I really didn't know the Bible at all, but I was facing a lot of challenges in my life at that time, and all of a sudden this verse just popped into my head, and I actually didn't even know if it was a real verse in the Bible, but I looked it up, and it was actually Psalm 86, and it's a prayer of David. And It's a little bit long, so I won't read the whole thing, but I'll just read a portion. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. And really, that entire psalm really spoke to me at that time and got me through a difficult time, so I thought that was a pretty amazing experience. So around that time, I was baptized by Pastor Jonathan Stairs in 2004 and became a member at Calvary Baptist Church in Oshawa. So the last question I wanted to answer was, why do I feel led to become members here at Newcastle Fellowship? So Tim and I were married by Jonathan Stairs in 2005. And we remained members at Calvary even while we moved overseas to teach. And upon our return to Canada in 2007, we happened to move to Newcastle. So shortly thereafter, we felt led to visit Newcastle Baptist Church, and we immediately felt spiritually fed by the strong Bible-based messages delivered by Pastor Jacques Nadeau, and we also felt very welcomed by the warm and Christ-like church family here at NFBC. And through the next 4 years, we began to attend, you know, more and more, and I participated in the Women of Faith Tuesday morning Bible study while on actually both of my maternity leaves. And I've continued to learn more about God as the central focus of my life here. So Tim and I, as he also mentioned, began to discuss and pray about becoming members here. And it was a really challenging decision for us to make because Calvary played such an important role in both of our lives as individuals, and Tim kind of grew up there. And he was also involved in ministry there, so it was a really kind of heart-wrenching decision for us. But after months and months of prayer and discussion, I think that we're now assured that this is the place where we want our family to grow in Christ. So, that's it.
Praise God. Isn't it amazing to see how the Lord works in people's lives? Praise God. I'm going to ask Tim Lazat to come now. He shared his wife's testimony. He's going to come and share his personal testimony. And then after that, I'm going to ask Jason and Gina Bowman. I think you're sitting back there. After Tim's done, you guys can come up and share your testimony.
I don't know. Maybe it's the name Tim or something. I only got a few notes here, but that's all I brought. But I would just like to, you know, share with you how I came to know the Lord. And lucky for me, although times growing up, I didn't feel so lucky. I was born in a Christian home, and the scriptures were a big part of our life, as well as my grandparents, who had a dairy farm. My grandpa was sort of my idol, and he was a little bit like Pastor Jacques. He could always quote a scripture for just about anything. So the scriptures sort of got burned into my brain, whether I was a willing, you know, recipient or not. And for a lot of it, I really kind of wasn't. But as a young lad, I was sort of cursed with this sort of deep thinking gene, and it still kind of plagues me sometimes and gets in the way of things. So as a kid, you know, I'd be the guy that would think about, you know, I'd look up into the clouds and think about, like, first causes and how do things come into being and, you know, foreknowledge and all this kind of stuff when I was like 10. So that kind of tripped me up when it kind of came to my own personal life and, you know, getting to know the Lord personally, because I knew all the scriptures and I kind of had the know-how. But I remember when my brother got saved, it sort of kind of started to speak to me a little bit, and I started to think about, you know, personally, you know, what would happen if I died in my sins. And so it was kind of very pragmatic in a way. I was worried about what would happen when I die, and I think maybe that's what leads a lot of us to the point of getting serious about God and the bigger questions. And I knew from the scriptures, and I knew myself, that I was guilty as a sinner. That was something that I never really struggled with. I mean, it's not a great thing to talk about and admit, but I mean, I knew I was guilty. I always used to think if I had this big, giant television screen above my head, and everybody could see at any time what I was thinking, you know, my gosh, I, you know,
power out, please, you know, like, I mean, I knew I was guilty, and I remember really getting convicted of this, that I think God was really working with me, and I was 12, and I was very nervous to go to school. I was afraid I was going to get hit by a car, and I was sort of gripped in terror because God was moving in me with that fear to get serious about my sins, but I was really hung up on how to get myself out of the equation and trust Christ. You know, all the different scripture verses that talked about repentance, trust, believe, and, you know, how do you believe? Can you decide to believe? You know, I couldn't decide to believe in Santa Claus right now if I wanted to. So these things really mired me down for a long time, and they almost kind of paralyzed me. And I remember at one point I was kind of scared to go to school, so I went into the little blue bedroom that was actually my brother's room, because I shared a room with my kid brother, so I never really got much peace. So I went into the blue room, Trev's room, and I remember just saying to myself and saying to God, I've got to settle this issue that's plagging me. And I just remember I knelt down on the bed, and I was, what are you so scared of? You know, and I was like, no, if I die, I'm going to be without Christ, and I'll be in hell. And I knew that the problem was my sin, and I don't know, I'd never really pulled myself out of the equation, but the gospel message just became clear that, you know, God is a just God, and he sent his son to die, and it was for my sins. I think it was, for some reason in that moment, it became personal that it was my sins. It wasn't like these verses in the abstract, and it kind of became personal for me, and I thought, if God is just and he sent his son, and the reason why Jesus died was my sins, you know, when I thought about my sins, and that's why Jesus was on the tree, well then, I'm safe. God is just. He's not going to punish sin twice. And I said, Jesus, you've saved me. It's through your work that saved me. And I just had that moment of realization that it was for me and it was personal for myself. And I think that I had never really gotten myself out of the equation. And I just really at that moment saw that it was Christ. And that's when I accepted him as my Savior. And kind of going ahead in my life, I find that whenever I get into trouble, it's when I'm in the way and I don't allow Christ to work. And whenever I get, there's too much Tim, it's a problem. And but 2 years after I became a Christian, I was baptized down in Wallsburg at a little gospel hall, the Brethren Church. And, you know, I was pretty strong for the Lord for a few years. But as I was in high school, and our home, like a lot of Christian homes, aren't perfect, and we had some problems, and I don't know whether I moved out or was removed from home, however that worked. I don't know, but all I know is I was living on my own when I was still a teenager, and sort of the allure of the world got to me, and I kind of turned to sort of riotous living for a while. And, you know, again, I kind of turned my back on the truths that I knew, and I started thinking too much and trying to justify the way that I lived in a way that would sort of allow me to sin, if you will. And luckily God is like a God of grace, and you know, through his grace he has brought me back. He's, you know, I became really empty. You know, I had dropped out of college, and I had no money, and I was working at a, you know, a minimum wage job, and you know, I realized I needed to, you know, get back to Christ. And shortly after I met Kate, that was a few years ago. We did get married this year. Some would say finally. It was a great day. But when I first met Kate, I remember talking to her right away about salvation, and that she was a Christian too, and so was I. And it was funny, that wasn't really what I had meant to do, but the first time I visited her at her house, that's what we ended up talking about, and that sort of reawakened my love for Christ. And a second thing that did it as well, we saw the movie, and I know Hollywood, but I remember seeing The Passion of the Christ very vividly. We went to see it in a movie theater, and it was a you know, quite a difficult watch for me. And again, I think the Lord just really used that to make it personal to me. when I watched that, and it sort of kind of impressed on me in a more really palpable manner what Christ did for me, it was kind of a turning point in sort of the way that I was living. And when I wasn't following the Lord, that, you know, I was hurting Him. And one of the earlier sermons we heard when Kate and I first started coming here was when Joseph wouldn't sin, because he said, "How can I make this great sin against the Lord my God?" And that's sort of how it worked in my life. And I really kind of became awake to my salvation again. And we came to this church because when Kate and I officially got engaged, we knew we had to get serious about finding fellowship. We had had difficulties with her health and trying to find a church and other distractions, and we had just never found a local church and Christians to fellowship with. And because of that, we did have our struggles, ups and downs, lukewarmness, you know, on for Christ, off for Christ, and knew making a marriage commitment that we needed to get married by a servant of God, and we needed to find fellowship, and God works. It's been amazing hearing how He's worked in people's lives here tonight. And, you know, I met Tim, who just followed me, or just preceded me, and when I was teaching through my teacher's college at Clark High School, and found out he was a Christian. He said he was coming to Newcastle Baptist Church, and invited me out, and we were blown away by the strength of the message here, and the biblical foundation of Christ, and also the great fellowship and outreach to us and to Kate, and many here have been such a help to us in the few short months, and have really strengthened us. And we were married by Pastor Jacques, and that was such a blessing, and the teaching and fellowship that we've had has been an amazing blessing. And really, I think that for a lot of years I've sort of wasted my life in what I've done for Christ. And a big thing that I would like, and I know Kate and I have discussed in membership here, is actually, you know, getting serious. God has given us all things, gifts and strengths, and to be used by God and to serve God. And we really look forward to doing that here. And we also look forward to more fellowship and accountability too. And I know that my life hasn't been a straight arrow course, and there's been a lot of times where I've strayed from God. And I hope that with what's here and the foundation and the strong believers here, that will also encourage us to be used by God. And it's such an awesome thing. After we were praying the other day, I thought, you know, can you imagine us being able to be used by God? Like, how awesome that is to think of me, this guy, and all the tomfoolery that I've been up to, and, you know, pride and all this stuff, that He's wiped all that away, and He can actually use us for His glory. It's pretty wild. And a verse that's been kind of interesting for Kate and I over the past little bit, that I thought is a good verse for tonight, is Galatians 2, 20 and 21. And it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." So I just, you know, He loved me, He gave Himself for me, and I've been crucified with Christ. So I pray that He will keep me in this grace and use me.
Hello, my name is Georgina Bowman, and I'm very happy to be here tonight and share. My parents were born in Glasgow, Scotland, and moved to Canada for a better life for my sisters and I. I have two sisters, and I am the middle child. When we were small, There was a local church in the area that was going door to door asking for kids to go to church on a big school bus, and so my parents let us go. They told us if the next week we brought our parents that we could go on a pony ride. So my dad, the good Scotsman that he was, went, and we got our free pony ride. And that was the very first time that my parents had ever heard the gospel. And I could remember my mom saying to me that she ran down the aisle when the altar call came, and she asked Jesus into her heart, and so also did my dad. One night while doing devotions with my mom, after our prayer time, I told her I wanted to ask Jesus into my heart. And my mom and I got on our knees, and I prayed, and I was only 5 years old. It was a very special night for me. I was baptized on March 20th, 1980, and I was 9 years old. Right from a young age, I could hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me, and I wanted to listen to Him. Later in my teenage years, I went on 4 2-week mission trips with the church that we went to at that time was Bayfair Baptist, and they really helped me stay focused in my life for Christ. I really feel that going on the mission trips helped me through my teenage years. I didn't want to rebel. I wanted to live my life for Christ no matter what. My mom was someone that I looked up to. She lived a great example for me and for my sisters. She loved God so much. We were a very close family. When I was in grade 5, my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and that is where our journey as a family began. My mom was sick for 17 years, and she fought to stay alive for her family. This is really hard, sharing this, because it's bringing back a lot of emotions, but I feel that it's very important for you to know my heartbeat and know who I am. My mom's sickness brought us close together, brought us close to God. And I'm very thankful for God giving me such a wonderful family. My mom taught us how important it was to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." No matter what's going on in my life, I have to trust God and know that He is always in control. When my mom was first diagnosed, she prayed and she asked God to allow her to be with her girls growing up and be there when we got married. God allowed this to happen. We were all married, and she got to meet our first daughter, her first grandchild, Megan. And this was very special to us. She was able to spend 14 months with Megan. But on November 21st, God called my mom home to be with Him. A month before my mom died, she asked me if I would promise her something. That if we as a family could sing her into the presence of her Lord, that she would like that. My sisters, our husbands, my dad. We were able to fulfill her wish. And we sat by her bed and sang hymns to her until she was safe in the arms of Jesus. And so the new journey began, life without Mom. I miss my mom so much. Every birthday, every Christmas, every special occasion, there's sadness with happiness. Every year I've struggled with Mother's Day. This Mother's Day I came here. And it was such a blessing. I felt such a peace. I felt happiness on that day. I
continually look to God to bring me comfort. 1 Peter 5 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. We've, as a family, have been praying for God to lead us to the church He wanted us to go. We have a few connections here. Jason and I grew up in the same church as Bruce Kovac, and Jason knew Pastor Jacques from when they were both on the police force together. Well, we had been praying about what church we should go. I kept seeing Bruce's face and Pastor Jacques' face, so we thought we'd come here and see if this is where God was leading us. And the moment I walked in the door, I could feel the Holy Spirit moving. I knew this is where God wanted us to be. The job environment that Jason's in is very difficult, and as a praying wife, I'm strongly encouraged that there are men here that walk in the same shoes as Jay, and I pray they will be a source of strength and encourage to each other. We have been moved by the love and support we have already received. Jason and I have been married for 16 years this December, and I'm so incredibly thankful to God for Jay. The loss of my mom has been hard on the whole family, and Jay has been such a great source of strength and help to me and my family. We have two children, Megan, who is 14 and just started high school, and we have a son, Jay, who's 10 and in grade 5, and we, are, as a family, are very excited to get involved and see the journey that God has planned for us here.
She really wanted to go first, but I'm regretting that now. Some of you may know, actually, my parents, Al and Debbie Bowman. They attended Churchill Heights many years ago when I was just a small boy. There were friends of theirs, the Corans, and that's how I got to know the Lord. We used to stay over at their house, and my sister and I would just visit there once in a while. They would babysit us occasionally. Mr. Cran simply asked me, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And at the age of 6, I said no. But I did know what he was saying. I did understand it. I did go to church. And without hesitation, I asked Jesus into my heart at that moment. And that's where I started my life with Christ. At the age of 6. At the age of 17, after we went to Bayfair Baptist, at the age of 7, I grew spiritually there. And at 17, I found myself on a mission trip to Jamaica, where we helped rebuild homes and churches that were destroyed in a hurricane there. Which totally impacted me spiritually, and I was definitely a changed person after seeing the poverty there. Completely did a whirlwind in my spiritual life. The following year, after conviction, I was baptized at Bayfair Baptist. And then the following year after that, I found myself on another trip to Africa. And I thought I'd seen everything in Jamaica, but Africa was an experience. We went to the Mahara Valley, which was the poorest, one of the poorest regions in Africa. It was basically a city in a valley. There must have been 50 to 100,000 people in this valley, just in shacks and whatever they could find to live in. And one of my main tasks that they gave me was to help rebuild some washrooms, which were basically outhouses, nothing fancy, but it was something. So it was an experience just to be selfless and to do what little, you know, I could do. And that experience, again, was a complete whirlwind for me spiritually, and so grateful for the church at that time. that I could be a part of that. And again, the following year, I joined myself with four other men. We ended up going on a trip to Belize, a mission trip for 6 months. And our main goal there was to rebuild or continue to build a camp there. And the whole goal was to have Belizeans come to this camp and to train them with skills and to help them spiritually as well. And as well, at night we would go into Punta Gorda, which was about 40 miles from where we were staying. And we used to travel along a dirt, bumpy ride in the back of a pickup truck. And your bum really hurt after getting there. It was a rough ride. But we used to minister to the youth there, Punta Gorda Baptist Church and a Nazarene church right in Punta Gorda as well. So, again, it was a life-changing experience and was different coming back. My wife and I, we did attend Crothers Creek Church, where I was involved with the music ministry there. I was a drummer there playing in the praise and worship band there, and we were there for 9 years, which was difficult for us. I mean, there's probably lots of people here where they've been in churches, and it's tough to leave a church and to move on, you know, meet new people. And so it was difficult, but we did have some connections. I knew Pastor Jacques, as my wife alluded to, that I was on the police force there in 2003. I was hired. And actually, my first encounter with Pastor Jacques was when we were in a classroom full of 30 people. And, of course, I didn't know he was a Christian at the time. And he gave one of the most compelling speeches I'd ever heard. He had us all close our eyes and basically started going on about how we need to come home to our families and to fight, to do everything that we possibly can. It was almost as if he was a preacher preaching to me, which didn't make any sense because he's a cop and that just doesn't really mix. But I felt like I needed a kilt and a sword and go to battle. Either that or shout amen. I wasn't really sure which one, but I'm thankful that Jacques, he wore his faith on his sleeve when he was in a uniform. And I can contest to that he's a man of integrity, and that's why I'm standing here wanting to be a part of that. So I'm thankful to the church and to Jacques and the connections I've made. I know I've made connection with many of you. You know who you are. I knew Bruce Kovac. We grew up at Bayford Baptist Church. So to us, it's just a perfect fit. We feel that God has led us here, and we're happy to be here. One last thing before I end, I just wanted to share something about my dad. Some of you may know he was diagnosed with cancer less than a year ago, prostate cancer in an aggressive form. It's now in his lymph nodes and bones. And it has set me back a lot, but I realize that God is in control and that there's a purpose behind his plan. Romans 8:28, as we know that in all things God works for the good, and those who love him have been called according to his purpose. I now know that his PSA levels have gone from 117 to 0.01. And I know that that's because of prayer. As a family, I want to thank God for this church, and I look forward to being part of it. Thank you.
I remember Jason specifically because Jason is so tall that we had to almost cut a hole into the doorway just for him to fit through. So Jason left a great impression. One more couple before we move to our baptismal service. Clint and Tanya Mason.
Good evening. I'm here tonight to share with you how I got to be here today. And start off, it was many years ago when I was five, my mom met my stepdad. And around that time, my dad accepted the Lord as his Lord and Savior and was born again. And at this time, my grandparents on my stepdad's side were saved. And from that time till about when I was 10, I was raised in a Christian home with my mom and my dad. And then at that time, my parents divorced. So I remember about a year after this, like the following year, that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior with my dad. I remember being in the room, in the living room, and then what I didn't know was that the following year was I was tested with some very hard trials for a young person, and I eventually found myself walking farther and farther away from the Lord, and that led me down to a life that not proud of, and that you wouldn't know I was the same person back then. And years pass, and I met my husband, who would have never known what my life was like when I was younger. But it wasn't until my husband met Vic Desette. They worked together back then. And Clinton started asking questions to Vic about God and about life and how to get to heaven. And that's when I realized how far I had walked away from the Lord. And I couldn't even answer his simple questions when he would ask me. So I remember one night, I think Clinton may have been at work, and I remember walking into my room, and it was like I got hit in the head, and it was like, wake up, like, what have I been doing? And it was, it just hit me in the face, and I can't describe what it was, but at that moment, I remember asking for forgiveness and accepting Jesus as my Savior. And it was soon after that that, through Clinton would share his testimony, but when he accepted Christ, then shortly after that, we were baptized here in May 2004. Some of you were here then and would remember that. And since then, we've been blessed with Caleb and Jake, our two boys, and now today we're here to join as members of Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. And as I look back on my life, how I got here today, it first comes to my mind, and I realize how God has directed my path to here. And it's Proverbs 16:9 that says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." And I wouldn't be here on my own if God hadn't laid his hand in my life and to bring me here today.
I think we have to be honest with you. First off, a couple Sundays ago when, I'm not sure if it was Pastor Jacques or Pastor Noel, when they were mentioning the names that were going to be members here, Tanya and I were quite shocked to see our name in the bulletin. Because we have been thinking about it for about a year or so, and I know I've been feeling great conviction over it. And I know Emily Doucette noticed that one Sunday and pointed it out to her family as they laughed at me while I looked like I was in deep conviction. It was quite funny. But needless to say, I think Bruce Kovacs is behind that, putting us into the thing, but it was meant to be, and we're so thankful that it happened, because it got us here right now.
First, I just want to say that I'm very blessed to have a wife like Tanya. She is a very godly woman, and she's very obedient, and she has a lot of patience with a husband like me. So I'm very thankful. I'm not going to pretend to be the best husband in the world, but she is a wonderful wife. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. And these are the words that changed my life for all eternity. 7 years ago, as my wife said, I met Vic Doucette, and I started having questions, and he provided, and he answered a lot of them for me. And it was actually during that time, I have to explain, I work for Durham Police. I'm not a police officer, but I'm a court officer. So I was in a courthouse, and I was speaking to a prisoner, and out of my right ear, I heard Vic reciting the scripture of John 14:6 to somebody that was a coworker of mine, and it kicked me right in the side of the head. And that was the best and most truth I've ever heard in my entire life. So for a while, I kept speaking with Vic. I kept asking him to tell me more. I wanted to learn more. And then there was another friend of ours that also was joining in on those conversations with us, but he died in a car accident. And after that, we all met at a pub on Simcoe Street to have one last drink farewell to Dan Lee. And I was struggling that night, and I asked Vic to tell me something I need to hear. And he asked me if I believed in Christ, and I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, then you know what you need to do." And I looked at him, and the both of us got up right in front of my entire co-workers, and we went to the back parking lot of that pub. And with people parking in the parking lot and walking by us, the two of us stood there in front of everybody, and we asked Christ to save me. And my life has been a whirlwind since then. I started reading my Bible. I discovered that God wanted me to be baptized, and I wanted to obey Him. So I went to Vic's house on Law Street and told him that I wanted to be baptized. He jumped off the couch and said, "Hey, Ange, guess what? Clinton wants to be baptized." So my wife and I decided to come here and be baptized. From then on, my life has been very different. It's been peaceful, emotional. It's been draining, frustrating, but a lot of happiness at the same time. And I know Christ promised peace, but He didn't say it would be easy. To this day now, I understand what it means to take the road to Calvary and pick up your cross. Not easy, but it's worth it. So worth it. Shortly after Vic, I call him my Moses. He left to go to Hydro. I was devastated because I thought, what am I going to do without my Moses? And I wanted to go desperately too. But God said, "No, I'm not going." And He wanted me to stay right where I was. I failed a lot. I've fallen a lot. But God always picked me up. A song Vic gave me once a couple weeks ago just really reached my heart, that God would never let go of my hand no matter what. So it's been a pretty big whirlwind. But I understand now why God wanted me to stay. He wanted me to serve Him where I work. I'm going to share one story with you. 4 to 5 months ago, I had to go into a cell with some of my coworkers. There was a gentleman in there that was hiding drugs, and we had to go in and get it off of him. Short and narrow of it, that man took a chunk out of my leg by biting me. And it was quite an emotional and devastating day. It was emotional for me because I never thought I'd be standing there sharing the gospel with that man. And the only reason I did was because of the love of Christ that He put in my heart. It is not because of me. I've heard people say that I'm a good man. I understand what they're saying, but I know that I'm not. And I know that the only goodness is in me is because of Christ and Christ alone. I'm filthy. So now I don't want to just serve there, even though it's been a blessing, and I'll continue to do whatever God asked me to do there. I've been able to see people come to Christ at work. I've been able to see people reject Christ at work. But I know God's not done with me there, and I pray He'll continue to use me, because even though I'm not worthy of it, I'm blessed by it. And it's helped me to grow, mature in Christ. And now I want to serve here. I'm tired of taking from this church. I want to serve this church. I want to serve you guys. I want to serve God. So just to recap, God gave me a job that I had no education for, that I didn't deserve, and I shouldn't have. I wanted a job that I actually, after 10 years, was qualified to have, and He said no. And I understand it now. So my testimony is this to you. I believe that Christ is the risen God. I believe that I am a sinner, and I cannot save myself. It is by His blood that I am saved, and by His blood alone. Thank you.
The verse that just comes to my mind is Ephesians 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Praise God. I mean, those are powerful testimonies of God's grace in different people's lives and how the Lord has brought them to this place tonight. We're now going to move to see these people make a great profession of faith in our baptismal service at this point.